2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5 through verse number 7. We've been doing this together, and we're going to continue that. We're just going to read it together. And then we're also going to be going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 here in just a few minutes. But let's start off with the normal way of doing this, and start with 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's read verse 5 through verse number 7 together. Now, we've been on this for a little while, and I thought maybe we'd finish it up tonight. Then I started looking at what all I still got left, and I'm like, nah, probably not going to make it, all right? So, but let's read these three verses together, and then we'll pray, and we'll continue looking at the last section dealing with charity, all right? So let's say this together, starting in verse number 5. Here we go. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And we've gone through each one of these things that we're to add to our faith. I am not going to rehearse over all of it this evening, but we will continue looking at the area of adding to our faith charity. And I'll give you a quick overview of where we've gotten to thus far, and then we'll pick up where we left off. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll move over to 1 Corinthians 13. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again for this evening. I thank you for the house of God that we can come together as your people. And Lord, thank you for what you did in our hearts and all this morning, Lord, that you met with us and gave us a time of praying together, those that, Lord, felt the need to pray together and pray for one another. And you know each and every heart in need. We thank you that we serve a God who is for us. And Lord, that you prove that on a daily basis. And I pray that you'd help us to understand as we look at this tonight, continue to look at this area of adding to our faith charity. And I pray that you'd help us to understand a little bit more concerning what charity really is. And Lord, how it can be revealed through the evidences that we're going to be looking at this evening. And we'd be careful to give you all the honor and glory for what you do, what you accomplish in our lives and do through our lives. I pray that everything done tonight, Lord, would bring you the glory you deserve. In Christ's name, amen. Well, over in 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to find, and we already talked about two of these things, but we're going to continue on in what you find concerning some evidences, I believe, of what charity really is. And when you have charity, a genuine, we talk about a biblical version of charity, there are some things that will become evident, become obvious to us and to those around us. Now, I will tell you just a simple, in slight review, we did say there are some facts concerning charity, and we find those in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. We find that without charity, my words carry no weight. If I don't show a heart of charity, then I can say all I want, but if my actions don't back up the words, then my words carry no weight. We also found out that without charity, I personally am empty. I don't have much content within my life. If there's not a desire to be charitable, as the Lord lays out what is charity, the love of the brethren even especially, but it doesn't just stop there. It has to do with more than just those that are my brethren, but especially within the church. But if I don't have charity, then I myself am empty. And let me read these verses as well. Verse number 1 in chapter 13 said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, that's my words. Though I have great words and I can be the orator of orators, and I can just say all the right things in the right way. In other words, I can be a great politician. Though I can say everything just right, but it goes on to say, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That is, my words carry no weight. Just a whole bunch of high-pitched noise. Then verse number 2 said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. In other words, I've got a whole bunch of ability and have not charity. I am nothing. It means I'm empty. If charity does not exist, then all my talents, all my abilities, everything that I hold on to for how beneficial I can be, if I don't have charity to go along with it, then it's really nothing. And then the verse number 3, we saw that without it, I am unprofitable. And it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So without biblical charity, I will be profitless, unprofitable. And so these three facts concerning charity kind of lead us into, starting at verse number 4, to the evidences of charity. We've already dealt with the first one, where it says that though I, verse number 4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. We said that charity has the ability, a biblical charity has the ability to suffer and yet stay kind. To deal with heartache and hardship, or sometimes just deal with people because they're really difficult to deal with. Whether it's circumstances that I'm suffering or it's people that I'm suffering through, charity, a true heart of charity, has the ability to suffer yet stay kind. Then also, charity is not envious of others. We saw that as it continues on in verse number 4. Charity envieth not. I gave a whole personal example concerning how easy it is to pray for someone, pray for the Lord to do something. And it's how easy it is for us when we see God answer that prayer in helping someone, that instantly, if we're not careful, we can allow that that monster of envy to well up within us and say, well, hold on a second, God. Hold on. Now, I know I was praying for that, but what about me? Okay. And so charity is a pure, unfeigned, untarnished heart and desire for God to bless others without me having to receive something in return. It's the ability for me to pray for the good of someone else without having to have recognition or have blessings in return. It honestly is. My heart's desire is for that individual. And I can rejoice in the blessings God gives them. Because if my heart of charity is genuine, then I'm excited when God does what I've prayed for without turning that around and saying, hold on a second, God did for them, what about me? That true charity tries to resist that temptation to turn the mirror back on myself. Then let's go on. That's where we left off. And so let's look at the next area. There's 8 more. Told you we're not going to get all the way through it, all right? So the third thing you find out as an evidence of charity, it goes on to say, after we read there, charity envieth not, it goes on to point out that charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Now, it's two things together, but I'm going to separate them here, all right? Charity vaunteth not itself. That basically is not given to vain displays. That's when an individual could, through an opportunity to give and help someone else, we're dealing with charity, a genuine love, but it's that agape love. It's that I would give my life for someone kind of love. It's that caring, especially, let's bring it within the brethren, because that's somewhere, oftentimes we already talked about, where it's probably the biggest struggle to be consistent in our biblical charity is with one another. Why? Because the more you know somebody, the harder it is to forget the things that you really wish you didn't know. And so the more you know that familiarity can breed contempt, and so it's harder to be kind to people that you know really well, especially when you know their flaws. It's a whole lot easier to see a tear-jerking call from maybe hearing about somebody's house burning down, or you hear about so-and-so going through a hard time, or they had a family, had a wreck, and their baby died in the wreck, and they're just needing help. I mean, your heart can just bleed for people you don't know, and the hurt they must be going through, and especially if you've dealt with anything like that. It's so easy for people I don't know, to some degree, for me to say, boy, man, I wish I could do something to be an encouragement to them. But you'll find oftentimes, even though it's a hard struggle, people that I know really, really, really well, I know all the flaws. I may think I know them, I may not know all the flaws, but I know enough to know where they're not perfect. Here's a big eye-opener for you. None of us are, all right? But it's so hard sometimes to relay and act upon a genuine biblical heart of charity when everything inside of me is saying, but I know who that person really is. All right? The Bible is talking about, when it comes to the brethren, we are to love one another. It doesn't give a condition as to when we can stop loving one another. It just says that we are to love one another. We are to edify one another. We are to lift one another up and to even bear ye one another's burdens. And so therefore, there's no call to say from God's word, unless they've done this, or unless they've done that, or unless they're this kind of a person, or unless they've really irritated you, then you're okay. You don't have to love them at all. Okay, the Bible doesn't say that. It just says we're to love one another. So sometimes that can get tough. That can get difficult. But the vain displays, that comes down to a thing of, okay, We know somebody has need. We know somebody, and we're going to bring it up, and everybody has a chance. Listen, we're going to take up a special offering, and we want to try to take care of this need, and so here's your opportunity, and here's what you got. You've got different people, okay? You have those who you have those. I'm going to do it this way. This is money, okay? So, preacher, why don't you use real money? Because if I put that in and take it back, you're like, see, the preacher takes the money out of the plate. Okay, no. But let's just say here's what happens sometimes, all right? We'll pass a plate and you'll have people, they'll go through and they'll dig out they'll put something in there and they'll just try to, hide it. Or better yet, sometimes that's what they get put in. Okay. You'd be surprised how many times there are blank envelopes. Say, preacher, no. Oh, yeah. All right. Completely blank, sealed up and everything. Might even have something written on it and, just thrown in there. But I'm not even going to go there. Okay. This is not really about giving. This is just about an idea of how vain displays take place. But you have those people who will act like they give and don't actually give. Then you have those who give, but honestly, they don't want to be seen in giving. So it's as careful as possible And they'll give, but they're not really wanting everybody to know. And then you'll have those who won't give in the plate because they don't want to see anybody give it, but they'll find somebody afterwards and they'll give it personally. And that's all fine. Then you have those that do this. And I'm not saying there's anybody in here that does this, okay? But you'll have those who, we have a need. And here's what they'll do. Before they can even say how we're going to, send a collection around for this, you'll ask somebody, I tell you what, I'll give $1,000 if somebody will match it. Now, I'm not always against that, okay? There are some times when somebody will stand up and, well, I'll do this. There are some times that does push people to give more, okay? That's fine. But I've been around enough times to see somebody, and I know exactly why they're doing it. They're doing it because they want everyone to know just how much charity they have. I'll give this. I'll give that. Again, they might give, but I'll be honest with you. And don't take this wrong and don't get offended. Because I'm not talking about anybody here. But I've watched over years of being a preacher's kid and even in ministry, in special meetings and all that kind of stuff. I've watched it happen time and again. But here's the sad part. They do give, but they claim to do it under the category of great charity. I just love giving. The problem is it's more of a vain display than it is anything else. It's to draw attention to my big heart for people. When I would just be honest with you, if the only two people that know about your heart for giving is you and God, that's enough. Nobody has to know. Now, the worst ones, I believe, are the ones that actually act like they give and never do, okay? But we're talking about the big vain displays. And that's just one way of doing it. There are other ways to make vain displays of giving. And there are people that make sure that when they do big things, they're always on the news. You know, they always try to make sure that they're doing this and doing that so people can see their work of charity. But I'll be honest with you, when it's a display of vanity, when it's a display so people can see how important I am to this cause, then it's not genuine charity. It's not biblical charity. They, as the Bible puts it, they have their reward. And it's right here, and it's right now, and it's in what they can give themselves. But those things that are laid up in heaven are not rewards that are given in vain display. It's service. Some people, it's charity of service. And it's showing up and saying, you know, listen, whatever you want me to do, just tell me. I'll be here. I'll do it. But they don't have to broadcast to everybody how many hours they spend up at the church or how many hours they go out soul winning or how many hours they do this or how many hours. They just do it. They do it because they love the Lord. They do it because they love people. They do it because they love the work of the Lord. And they do it because they want to reach people with the gospel. They just serve. Now, that is a version of charity. It is a heart of love that draws me not to just speak of, but to actually put into action and do what I say is important. However, to do such things and do it for the sake of being able to claim how much I do for God or how much I do for others or how often I serve the church would turn that instance of service and charity for the Lord, the love of the Lord and love of the ministry and the work for the Lord, it would turn it into a vain display. And I believe at that point at which we do things for the flesh, in the flesh, at that moment, if we're not careful, we can take what can be good for the Lord and be done for the service of God and be done, I'll be honest, as the Lord lays out for us, to lay up treasure in heaven where neither moss nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves not break through and steal. But I believe we can have those moments where we've done good and then Satan tempts us. Why don't you take a little credit for it? Why don't you puff yourself a little bit in the eyes of folks? You got the opportunity to claim how much you do. Why don't you let folks know just how much you do? And unfortunately, we can, I believe, wipe out that reward that's waiting by allowing it to become a vain display for right now. So charity, genuine charity, and there's a whole bunch of other things we could use to point that out, but it's not necessary. But genuine charity, a love for the Lord, a love for others, a service, something that draws us to do what we say matters. Genuine charity does not vaunt itself. Vaunteth not, as the Bible puts it, vaunteth not itself, does not display itself. And then also says it's not puffed up. That's the pride. That's that pride of life. That's making sure. And the two things kind of coincide with one another. The reason I believe they're back to back is because when we do things for vain display, there's one reason and one reason only. Because I want people to recognize me. If I do things in an open display, not to try to challenge others to serve as well, but I'm doing it strictly for the display so people see what I'm doing. It's not because I truly have a heart to serve God at that moment. Might have started that way, but at the point that I want to bring attention to me and not to God, it becomes a vain display. Then all of a sudden now, it's based on the foundation of pride. And the pride of life, if we're not careful, causes us to take opportunity to love on people, opportunity to serve the Lord, opportunity to do more with the life that God has given us. If we're not careful, we'll take that opportunity so as to try to put ourselves on the pedestal that we think we belong on. I know this is not comfortable preaching, But it is reality and it is practical, because if there's one thing that can destroy a true servant, it's forgetting why they serve and turning that service into a way to lift themselves up. The Bible tells us if we'll let the Lord handle it, that he will lift us up. That we are not, I'm going to butcher the verse, so I'm going to be careful not to go too far with it, because my brain is not finding it right now. But it talks about, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. Why is that? Because the moment we start praising ourselves, it's almost impossible not to get prideful. Now, you can ask any of the deacons or fellows that were involved in when I sent in the questionnaire that was sent me. There were some questions I really didn't want to answer. They wanted to know what all have you done, you know, to some degree, you know, what are some things that you've done? What are some places the Lord has taken you? So just some different things. And I gave a very basic explanation, and they sent back and said, we want more detail. I said, really? And I openly put on there, I said, okay, fine. I just want you to know up front, I would rather you call the people you asked as references. I'd rather you call those individuals and ask them these questions, because I gave you people that would be completely blunt, honest with you as to the downsides or the positives. And let them, if there's praise to be had, let them praise the work ethic or the attitude or the ideas or even the talents and abilities. You know, because, I could talk all day in what the Lord has allowed me to learn and all that he's allowed me to do. But I'd sure rather just get somewhere and just over time people learn it as they watch than me have to speak about it. Because it's so hard to talk about what God has done with you without Satan sneaking in and saying, you can be proud of that. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. Not a whole lot of other people can say that. And if we're not careful, what we do for the Lord with a sincere, genuine heart, if we're not careful, we let Satan in on this thing, then one of the first things he's going to try to bring about is an opportunity to let those things we have done because we love the Lord, because we want to serve the Lord, and we want to serve others. That is the evidence of genuine charity, genuine love, and agape love for the Lord and what he has us to do. And you do it because you love God and you love people and you just want to serve. If we're not careful, pride will be one of the first things that creeps in to really destroy it all. Pride can mess everything. You can go all the way back to the first one there, the suffering long but staying kind. When we get prideful, we think we deserve it. And therefore, if we're not careful, we'll suffer and say, I don't deserve this, I deserve better. And we lose the kindness. We'll start envying. Why? Because, well, I deserve that too. We'll start doing the vain displays. Why? Because I want people to know how much I do. Pride can just destroy everything. So we have to be very careful. A genuine evidence of real biblical charity is that it is not full of pride. There is a humility that should come with the child of God, knowing that, listen, even though God might have given some one talent, some two talents, some five talents, it doesn't make the five talent individual, doesn't make the one talent individual unnecessary. Every single person is necessary. Every single amount of talent is necessary. And every single one of us ought to use what we've been given to serve the Lord. But if we're not careful, we'll take those talents, and if God uses them, we'll forget that he doesn't have to use us. It's only by God's grace that he chooses to use us. And it's only by his grace that I can ever be used of him. We really have nothing to offer that wasn't first of all given to us by the Lord. My ability to help others, my ability to love on others, my ability to serve God and prove how much I love him is all because he gives to me first. And then I have something to work with. Those servants that were given, and again, it's a whole other message, but the servants that were given the talents in order to please their master, to just do the job, they were given what they could to work with. It wasn't their own, it was the master's. He gave to them what they needed in the first place. They just used it with the character or lack thereof with the one talent, but the character they had to do right by what they were given, and through that faithfulness were able to produce more, be found faithful, and the master said, you've been faithful with few things, I'll make thee master, I will give thee many things. In other words, I'm going to place within you, the few has been just a little bit of a testing time, and you've been faithful as a servant, so I'm going to put within your care so much more. And that's really what the Lord wants to do with the opportunities to live out genuine charity here, genuine love for the Lord and for others. And then moving on, another evidence of, we see here in these verses, another evidence of genuine charity goes on to verse number 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Someone who is acting on genuine biblical charity is going to be known to behave properly. It's going to be known to be somebody who doesn't misuse the opportunity placed before them, but they are going to take that opportunity to just continue being what they are, a servant. Continue to be what has been placed in their heart, and that is to serve. They're going to do it, but again, going to do it with the right heart, the right attitude, the right motivation, and in the end, the right outlook on this opportunity. Genuine charity knows how to behave itself. And some of the most genuine people as a child of God, servants of the Lord, one thing you'll find, and I'm not talking about preachers per se, though yes, some preachers are wrapped up in all that as well. But we're talking about anybody at all who's a child of God, who says they want to serve the Lord, they want to do right, they just want to be a servant, they just want to be used of God. Some of the most notable ones, if you were to call out names with some folks, there's some folks even tonight that I could call out that since I've been here, whether they go to church here or other places, there are some folks that if I called out some names, many of you, if not all of you in here, if you know anything about them, would agree. Now that was a servant. That individual is a servant. And you'll find that many times one thing that will come back as people begin to describe that individual's life and their love for others and their love for the Lord and their desire to just want to do anything and everything they possibly could, which is, again, that is the charitable heart of a child of God. Loving the Father as he should be loved, and in turn learning how to love others like the Father would love. You'll find if you talk about certain people, one of the first things going to come out, folks are going to talk about their consistency and the character they showed on a daily basis. They were consistent. No matter if times were good, if times were bad, if they were called on a time when they were ready, or if they were called on in a moment when they had other things planned, they still had a genuine heart and a love to just do what needed to be done, serve others, and through it serve the Lord. They're just faithful. They are there. They are consistent. And as we often use the term, they're dependable. Why? Because they have a genuine heart of what biblical charity is all about. And there's an evidence of it because their behavior in areas where it may not have been most convenient for them, yet they still behave themselves well to love on people and to serve the Lord, even when it wasn't convenient. They're known for behaving properly. So verse number 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. And some of these seem to kind of repeat to a degree, but the seeketh not her own really deals with an evidence of a lack of, again, I get this, a lack of selfishness. It's the absence of selfish desire. I'm going to just put it this way. we can all, if we're not careful, we can all take circumstances and be willing to help out in some of the most inconvenient circumstances as long as somehow, some way I can twist this to benefit me. If somehow, some way I can work this out to where my service pays me something. Or my service, and I'm not talking about just in money. I'm talking about in any way you could think of that would be worth my time. Can I be honest with you? And I'm as guilty as anybody else. There are times when you measure up what needs to be done with whether or not I want to do it. Is it going to pay off in the end? Okay. Can I be honest with you? Biblical charity. And I know this is that moment of, well, we're supposed to, I've already used this, we're supposed to be perfect? No, we're not going to be perfect, but we should strive to be like Christ. So, there should be, if our heart is right and we are genuine and we're looking at what is biblical charity, what is biblical love, what is loving others as the Father would love them, what is helping others as God would step in and do, what would Christ do? And I know that whole saying of what would Jesus do became a big deal from the book In His Steps and all. But it's just because the world grabbed onto it and they don't know half of what they're talking about doesn't mean it's not a good thought. It is a good thought. What would Jesus do? What would Christ do? That should be the driving motivation of everything that we choose to do. Would Christ do this? Well, if not, maybe I should stay away from it. Would Christ get involved over here? Well, if so, maybe I should get involved in it. Would the Lord drop everything and go here and help out with this? Well, if He would, maybe I should follow in those same footsteps. Wouldn't hurt us to consider more of what Christ would do instead of looking at, is this a convenient time? But we're talking about the selfish side of things. If we're not careful, we'll all have the tendency at the moment of the opportunity for service, the opportunity for showing genuine charity, acting out, living out what we say as a child of God we have. Lord, I'm learning to add to my faith charity, which, by the way, reminder, that is the last one in the list, and you don't get to what we're talking about now without learning how to add the others first. You got to add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to your temperance patience, to your patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness charity. You don't hopscotch to the end and just skip over all the first ones. To get to charity, you've got to learn how to add the first ones in. And I'll be honest with you, what seems impossible for me to do without selfish desires, how does a person do that without trying to find some angle that it benefits them? How does a person live every single day without finding some way to get a benefit from what they do? How do you do? You go to business people, they can't hardly fathom that. Because everything in the business world has got to produce a profit. If you don't have profit, you're losing. Can I be honest with you? The profit you see as a child of God by having a heart like the Father would have for others and a heart to serve God as He would have us to serve. In the world's eyes, that desire to live a life of love, to live a life of service, of biblical charity, in the world's eyes is foolishness because in almost every case, when you're truly loving as the Father would love, there's not a whole lot of ways to find that I'm going to benefit and come out in the positive. Doesn't mean I won't, but it also doesn't mean that I'm going to go into this knowing, okay, I'm going to come out of this smelling like roses. I'm going to come out of this situation, everything looking good. I'm going to come out of this situation in the positive. A lot of times where honestly to love like God would love means I give out of myself without anything in return. I'm going to give without any expectation. But see, the one thing that can destroy that is selfishness. If I want to live a life of genuine charity, biblical love as the Father loves, so should I love. If I'm going to live that out in my actions, then I'm going to have to do it without trying to figure out beforehand, how does this benefit me? There's a lot of people I'll pass up because they don't benefit me. There's a lot of circumstances I'll say, you know what, let somebody else handle that because I don't see how that's going to help me whatsoever. Well, if I want to claim to be an individual that lives a life of biblical charity and doesn't just talk about it, but I actually live it daily, then I'm going to have to resist that temptation to figure out how does this work in my favor? Because that will be the very thing that keeps me from doing half of what God, or over half of what the Lord really wants me to do. I'll just be honest with you. You get involved in ministry, most of the time you're giving more than you're receiving. That's just part of it. Because a lot of times you're working with and helping people that don't understand and don't comprehend where we're coming from. You're helping folks that honestly, in most cases, when it comes to ministry, if I'm loving as a father would love, well, guess what? What did I have to offer him when he was willing to give me everything? I had nothing to offer him. I'm not even worthy of what he offered me. When it comes to loving, let me just spread it out beyond the church. Let's go to our community. When it comes to loving folks in our community, y'all know just as well as I do, there are people we handpick. I'm willing to help that person. I'm not even going to talk to that person. Oh, yeah, boy, they need help over there. Yeah, I'm not so sure about them. They look a little shady. If we're not careful, we size things up from a distance, all because what it comes down to is, I don't see how that's going to benefit whatsoever. They're probably going to take me for a ride. They're probably going to use and abuse everything I have to offer. They're probably going to misuse it in ways that I didn't intend. Can I be honest with you? We should not be unwise in what we do. However, when the Lord says to do something, obedience is, I follow his command. I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit that he places on my heart. And can I be honest, something I had to learn, and it's still tough to this day, I'm not one to really give money away that much. Just because if I don't know the person, how do I know they're not going to take what I give them and go buy the alcohol and the cigarettes that's destroying their lives in the first place? So what I have done is I've taken people down to Cowboys and I've taken people to other places and my wife, we've bought a hamburger meals and stuff like that and given to folks. We've gone down and filled their tank up and done things like that. Why? Because I know that can be a benefit and that can help them. And if they're willing to receive that, then evidently, yes, they definitely needed help. But here's one thing I learned, that there have been times where we have driven down, y'all know how it works. You get off the interstate, you get off that area, and you come to the stop, and there's a whole bunch of people at different places, different times, and they're standing there with signs, need help, want money. They never put it that way, but they have these signs, and you know they're bleeding hearts, and now you hear the stories, and it's very true. Many of them could buy a vehicle right now with the savings they have in the bank accounts. If we knew their bank accounts, we'd know why they're doing that. They make more money on the side of the road looking like a bum than you do working a hard everyday job. And to be honest, if we're not careful, the flesh will well up. I'm like, you know, I'm not about to give them something when they actually have enough money to go. Matter of fact, you know, we watched a couple of people at times. There were some stories in Louisiana that took place, and somebody followed this couple that looked really ragged and dirty, and they followed them back to their vehicle that they got out of when they went to the edge of the streets and everything and were acting like they had nothing. They got out of their vehicles, and when they went back, they followed them back to the, and we're talking about brand new 2007 at that time, 2017 vehicles and all this. I mean, brand spanking new, awesome looking vehicles. Like, what? I ain't never given another person on the street a dime. We get that way. Why? Can I be honest with you? Because I'm afraid, in my own selfish way, I'm afraid I'm going to help somebody with something they don't need. They're going to misuse it and abuse it. And I want to keep it for myself rather than give it to somebody who's going to misuse it. So I'm just not going to give to anybody. Now watch. Here's what happens. Those selfish desires that, you know what? They shouldn't have that because I work hard enough to have that and I can't even have that. Selfishness. Now, I say all this to come down to this point with this whole thing. What I do in obedience to God reaches it. My obedience is the extent of what I'm accountable for. What happens after I'm obedient to what the Lord has said to do, what happens after that point I'm not held accountable for is the individual that received my obedience to God. They are then accountable for what they do with what God told me to give. Same thing happens with the church. Regardless, it's a missionary. Say a missionary comes, we take up a love offering, we get that missionary out there. Then we found out months down the road that missionary dropped off and quit, and we just gave them $1,000 love offering. They quit shortly afterwards. Well, they're wasted our money. Listen, wasn't ours to begin with. When God said give it, it's God's. If I obey the Lord, once I've done what is my obedience to do, I'm no longer accountable for what happens after that point. Is the individual that receives it. So therefore, I have to understand that my act of love, my act of charity has to be led by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, selfishness, pride, improper behavior, vain displays, envying of others, and not being able to stay kind through the hard times, all those things can get in the way of me genuinely living a life, if you want to put it this way, a life of godly love for others, the brethren, and for those that are in society that maybe don't know the Lord yet. I'm going to stop right there, all right? There's a few more left, but I'm not going to go any further for tonight. We'll wrap it up, I promise. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll wrap this thing up. We'll finish this one out, and we'll move on to something else to learn from the Lord, word of the Lord. But understand that this area of charity, it's not the end all. Matter of fact, once we add to our faith all these things and we get down to where we really understand, we truly have learned all the others to start with, and then now we come to the point where now I'm learning to love like God loves. I'm learning to love the Father the way I should love Him. Because adding to my faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness, adding all these things has taught me more than just the horizontal benefit of it all. It's taught me the vertical benefit of it all. It's taught me how to love the Lord the way I need to love Him, so that then He can in turn teach me how to love others the way He loves us. And that's when I understand that loving like God loves, serving as Christ served, giving as He gives is very possible. I can reach that extent of being like Christ when I've added to my faith all these things. Can I just be honest with you? This list of what charity has evidence of what charity really is seems impossible in the flesh. When you really look at it, you look at all the things that are required for it to be genuine charity. Well, how can I do this without messing up? When I've worked hard at adding all those things to my faith, the faith I have in the Lord and all I've learned to add to that faith bring about an automatic byproduct of genuine charity in my life. All of that leads up to being able to accomplish this. Learning how to love as Christ loves. Learning how to give as Christ gives. Learning how to serve as Christ served us. Learning how to suffer even as Christ suffered and yet stay kind. All these things become a natural byproduct of a child of God who in the flesh can still live according to the Spirit and live in accordance to how Christ would do things. What would Jesus do? I honestly can't accomplish that. Not being perfect, we know that. but being as near to what Christ would have me be as I possibly can in this life is possible if we will add to our faith each one of these elements and get down to this point of charity and really understand what it is to love as God loves, serve as God serves, give as God gives. It becomes a natural byproduct of our adding to our faith. And we'll, Lord willing, finish it out next Sunday. Heavenly Father.